Valley Talk on News Talk 1580 KGAL.
Welcome to Valley Talk. Jeff McMahon, your host, sponsored today by Corwin Insurance. Corwin Insurance works with only the most reputable insurance companies. They employ a team of dedicated insurance professionals committed to providing quality insurance services. Their goal is to maintain a long-term relationship with their clients, and you only do that by serving them well. That's what Corwin Insurance is all about. You'll find them in Corvallis at 301 Southwest 4th Street in Albany, right across from the Bi-Mart Shopping Plaza, 2231 Santiam Highway Southeast. Corwin Insurance, sponsoring today's Valley Talk. Our guest today for our entire program is Linn County Commissioner John Lindsay. We appreciate him taking the time to stop by and say hello via the telephone because we're keeping a safe distance from each other. How are you doing this morning, John?
I am doing all right. I have the doors shut to the office, and I'm locked in here and distanced quite well from everybody.
So let's start out by talking about what the coronavirus situation and the stay-at-home order, social distancing, all of that stuff has meant to John Lindsay personally, to Commissioner Lindsay and his family. What's this been like for you?
Well, just like anybody else, we've had to, you know, on a personal level, my wife and I don't get to see anybody or anything, and that's gone on for quite a while. Missed a couple of birthdays, but we talked to the kids over the phone. You know, we've got a couple of grandkids that are like that. But other than that, we're just like everybody else. You know, we got to try and follow through with this and slow this curve down. And I think the numbers are starting to come out that Oregon has done a pretty darn good job.
I would agree with that. We were talking about that on our morning update here on KGAL this morning about how much better Oregon is doing than quite a few states, especially some of those on the eastern seaboard.
Yeah, I think, you know, this is just me, and this is my opinion. We had ports of entry on the West Coast from China, and, of course, that would be the Seattle area, L.A. area, and, of course, Portland. The way we've handled this, I think, is quite well, especially in the state of Washington. But, you know, until we get to randomized testing, we still will never know how many cases there actually are in the U.S. or how we can extrapolate how many people have had the virus. Because we do know that those numbers are much higher, even when you leave the model and start looking at this. Until we get that randomized information, we're not quite sure what it is. But at this point, for the more serious stuff, obviously, Oregon has done an extremely good job.
Governor Brown was aggressive and early in some of her orders, or at least yeah, among the first anyway, and it seems to be turning out, she did exactly the right thing and has really done a good job handling this crisis.
Well, I think in hindsight, now we're to a bit of the hindsight stuff. Yeah, the early on actions were really good. The president shutting down, of course, border flights, and that was extremely good for us to do. But in hindsight, if everybody was listening to Dr. Fauci's interview a couple days ago, remember, this is a guy that's dealt with diseases for over 50 years.
Right.
This one behaves a little bit differently, and the way in which I found very interesting was the younger carriers shed the disease at 3 or 4 times the rate of anybody else, which means that our schools would have been literally petri dishes like they are most of the time. So
right,
in hindsight, actually shutting down schools was probably a pretty good idea to slow the spread of the virus. And that's all we're doing is we're just trying to slow the spread. I don't think some people don't quite understand that. The virus will run its course somehow, but we can't overload our healthcare system and we can't overload a lot of our emergency management systems. So that's what we've been trying to do here. I think Oregon has really, and Washington, have shown that with the West Coast we've done very well.
Commissioner John Lindsay is our guest today on KGAL Valley Talk. From the Linn County Commissioner's standpoint, what have you had to do differently? Tell us about decisions that you've had to make and how things look from a commissioner's standpoint.
Well, first and foremost, we've had to change a little bit of how we do business. We've employees that can do their job that are essential, but they don't have to actually physically be present in the courthouse or one of our offices. We've removed them to remote locations at home to ensure that we have some people that are not being exposed to public. And, of course, We have, anywhere from sheriff's office to emergency management to healthcare workers. They still have to remain around, so we've had to change how business is conducted in an office, how we deal with a person at the counter. We can't be face-to-face. We instruct these on this, and we're got this cleanliness thing going on where we have people wiping down door handles and spraying hallways constantly to make sure we're not spreading any of this. I think one of the biggest things we've had to deal with is the orders from the Chief Justice of the court, which is they postponed a lot of the trials. So when if people walk into this building here, it's a lot quieter than it used to be.
Yeah, I'm sure it is.
So we're at a different thing, but we're still doing business as usual. For instance, we've had to change how building inspectors work. They can't be going inside someone's house on premise business as usual face to face. But we've been trying to work how we're getting this done, and they've done a pretty good job of that.
With that in mind, just real quick, and then I'll let you go on with the various ways you're taking this. But I just had a quick question. This is from a personal viewpoint. My wife and I have a new manufactured home that will be due to have an inspection in about a week or so. Will that still be able to happen? Will the county be able to come out and do their inspection?
At this point, yes. That will go ahead and go forward. A manufactured home one shouldn't be a very difficult one to do. But there's other complications. I know that construction-wise, depending on where construction's taking place and how in-depth it is, we've had different discussions on how that is to be conducted. It's just to ensure that we don't have face-to-face contact. When I say face-to-face, within 6 or 8 feet of an individual, we want to keep everybody kind of safe here. And again, when I've only got 3 or 4 inspectors, I've got to make sure that we don't get any of them sick. So.
No, you can't afford to lose any of them. You hardly have enough.
Well, we just came out of an economy where, quite frankly, it's very tough to get qualified people, and we had a retirement, we had a changeover, and I'll tell you what, it's tough to get a really good qualified electrical inspector and plumbing inspector, and if you talk to some of the construction people around the area, they know the difficulties that we've gone through, but we've got those positions filled now. We have a great individual in there. We have, of course, a lot of people taking care of that. Very, very good. And hopefully we'll get you moved into your house, Jim.
Well, I appreciate that. So, listen, you mentioned the word retirement with this inspector that retired. Well, you have a Linn County commissioner that's going to be retiring here soon, Will Tucker. Talk about that and how that bodes for the future.
Well, Will has been an instrumental part of this board. We've been a very... I like to say an effective team. Each of us kind of branch off and work together very well on this. Will has decided to move on, and we have a couple of, I guess you got to have the election. We have some people, some fine people running for this office, and hopefully they'll blend right in, and we can continue doing a lot of things that we've been working on. In the future, it's like I said, we've got I've said before, we have a transportation facility project that's going to mean a lot to this area that we're still moving forward with. We've got other hopeful projects that will help local business, thrive out here and help some of our farm community for farm to market. And we're pretty proud of that. Hopefully we get our 3 lanes to Salem. That's always what we're always pounding on the pavement for ODOT
right.
for.
Yeah, that's been an ongoing request. What do you think? Is ODOT any closer to being able to make that happen?
Well, ODOT does a great job. They do what they're funded to do, so it comes down to funding. I don't have to tell you, but people have been noticing traffic as it builds up. We just have a lot more stuff taking place, and we do need that capacity. We need lane capacity, and... with the Albany Corvallis area continuing to thrive as it is in Salem, we see that bottleneck taking place, and hopefully we'll get something done in the next few years.
Very good. So going back just quickly for a moment to go back to Will Tucker's retirement and a new county commissioner on the board coming. As I see it, I look at almost everything and can make sports analogies because I'm a ridiculous sports fan. I probably love sports too much. But I see it that the county commissioners are the like the quarterbacks of the county, basically. You're the signal callers, the ones that are sort of, you know, making the decisions or doing the planning, the thinking, and running the show in a way. And so with that in mind, when a quarterback on a sports team goes to a new team, often they have to learn a new offense and there's some adjusting. And what do you expect that adjustment period to be like with a new commissioner coming in? Or do you even expect really much of an adjustment?
Well, I got to go back and correct you on something.
Yeah, please, go ahead.
Sports analogies there. I've, in my life, been lucky enough to know some people who play pro sports. And
oh, good.
I remember there was a certain running back that made a statement when he got some big running back award. Everybody said, you did such a fantastic job this season. And that was Marshawn Lynch. And he said, no, he has a good guy sitting in front of him on a line that makes a hole for him.
Yes, that's true.
So it takes the whole team. It's not just that. So when you look around the county, we have some very great mayors, some great city councils. We got to build those relationships and keep those relationships up. In a sense, yeah, we try and look out for the federal relationship. We're kind of the go-between in the state for a lot of our cities. But, you know, a lot of successes are built on having that deep team. And, you know, we do have some very very good teams out there in some of our cities. So we have 13 incorporated areas. And without that teamwork and working with county staff and things like that, we can't get that planning done. We do have, you know, we have to work together on transportation planning to solid waste, various economic development projects that we've worked on to get things in, and to plan for a new college like we did over in Lebanon. But you can't do that without everybody working together as a team. I'm one of those guys. There's no one person that can actually stand out. You have great leaders, you know, that might envision something, but you can't get anything done unless everybody's on board. And that's the real key, is getting everybody on board to do certain things or go a certain direction and reach agreement.
I think that's an interesting situation that you are in the county government, being that go-between between the local and the federal and the state. And you're involved in a whole lot of issues and a whole lot of decisions in one way or another. Does that make the job interesting for you? Because there's a whole lot of variety of situations and people that you have to deal with and work with.
I had mentioned early on when we were talking here that, yeah, as a team of commissioners here, we tend to assign each other into our strong suits. And, you know, I work a lot on federal forestry issues, a lot of other federal issues. Commissioner Nyquist works on a lot of business issues for the state of Oregon. Commissioner Tucker works a lot on relations and state forest issues, which I had worked on for years, to try and get a couple of us that are well read into these things. We try and bust up the interests so that we can work better together as a team.
Makes sense.
Instead of everybody working on the same thing. And that takes trust to do that. We have enjoyed a tremendous amount of trust over the years. And that allows you to be successful, be able to reach decisions together and talk with each other and agree on what direction we're going. And I think that is, I'm kind of tooting my horn here, but we've had a lot of success with that, and I think it shows with different endeavors that we've gone into. And sometimes when we stick our neck out on the line, such as a couple lawsuits we're involved in. We're here to represent our local citizens and do what we think is best for this, whatever that takes.
You have in the past or even now with a couple of lawsuits you mentioned currently in process, you have stepped up and stood up against either the state or federal government at various times when you feel like some decisions have been made or could potentially be made that would be bad for Linn County. Talk about what currently is going on in that regard, these two situations that you just mentioned.
Well, one I can't get in-depth on, but everybody's familiar with our state forest lawsuit. That would be the very large one. Where we're at on that was printed in the paper, was we went back. There was a motion to for a new trial that was denied on the state's behalf. So you'll have to excuse me a second.
Sure, no problem.
So that was denied, so we're in a waiting pattern right now to see if there's going to be an appeal of that decision to the appellate court. We fully expect that to happen, but there's a discussion on how monies will be escrowed and things like that as we go through that process. That process could take up to 4 years.
Mm.
A lot of that has been well read in. One of the ones that I've been more directly involved in is a pair of suits that we had in the first district in Washington, D.C., with the Bureau of Land Management and the Department of Interior. Those relate more to the ONC lands, which was an agreement that was reached about the same time with the federal government on ownership of federal land inside the boundaries of the state of Oregon and how that land would be managed. Original contract was that these railroad companies would develop areas and build railroads inside of Oregon. And what they did was they went ahead and cut over a lot of the timberland and left town. And the counties ended up with this cut over timberland during the Depression. And we were trying to there was a lot of planning going on and stuff like that. So some agreements were made with the federal government that we would go ahead and leave those not under the jurisdiction of the U.S. Forest Service, but the Bureau of Land Management, and replant all those forests and use them for a commercial purpose to help fund counties and schools in perpetuity. As years have gone by, the federal government has changed laws, which they applied to this basic contract that we had for years. And, you know, you can't change a contract unless both sides agree to change it.
Of course.
And so that's what we did, was we went back into court over some new planning actions that had taken place with the federal government in the last decade. Judge Leon sided with the counties and said, yeah, you're right. They can't go around changing this stuff. Congress has to go back and eliminate acts and change a whole lot of stuff to try and change that if they want to change how policy is done on the ground. So there's further discussions how this decision will be done in the future. And hopefully, we will see some good economics come out of that and be better for our schools in the state of Oregon and our counties.
Our guest on Valley Talk today is Linn County Commissioner John Lindsay. He's taken the time to chat with us, even though he's a little bit under the weather, and we appreciate him playing hurt today and still being here. I appreciate that.
I told you I would do it no matter what.
Well, thank you for that, friend, and I do hope you're going to get better real soon. So with our program, we usually take a commercial break. So in just in a few minutes, I'm going to take a break, John, and I didn't get a chance to tell you this before we went on the air, but it will just be quiet on your phone during that break, though I might be able to pop in and chat with you for a second. So I'll see if I can work it out, but just keep that in mind. So don't run away when we take our commercial break in a few minutes, all right?
Okay.
Now, you had a number of things that you jotted down and were kind enough to send to me in an email, things that you wanted to chat about. And I thought maybe we could jump on to one real quick here before we take a break. And you don't have to be brief. I can move. This is a movable break, so take as long as you want. But let's talk about the Linn County Fair with COVID-19 thing going on right now. The fair coming up. Are you still seeing at this point that if everything goes sort of as we're hoping, that we'll be able to have the Linn County Fair on schedule?
Yeah, we're going to go ahead and move forward. Fairs are tied into the fairs around Oregon, and there's a timing mechanism in there where you have to hold a fair at a certain time.
Yeah.
I had a conversation with Commissioner Nyquist again yesterday about this, and we fully intend to go forward. The fair is scheduled at the end of July, which is in the area of when you're talking about flu and colds. That's not a flu and cold season. COVID-19 is a form of that. So we fully expect that to decline out, and we'll see a lull in it. Now, that doesn't mean anything's over, because when fall rolls around, we fully expect to see some sort of resurgence. We don't know what that is. I've talked to a number of health professionals about that, anywhere from, the Cleveland Clinic to OHSU to right here with our own Dr. Muth in the area and members of Samaritan Health. We don't know what that looks like. The only thing I can tell you is what I have been told by a lot of the people that are really smart is that no one's going to make a decision on that because nobody can predict. Again, like I said, this virus is acting very much different than other viruses in the past on how it transmits and how it is. The way it's explained to me is you will see a big push over the next 45 days to see if there's a reinfection rate, and there'll be some studies done on that. If there's not a reinfection rate, then we may be out of the woods quicker than people think, because it will keep working through the population, and maybe the fall won't be that bad. But no one's going to say yes or no. No one's going to say one direction or another. There's just not enough information. And really, until we get to randomized testing, no one's going to be able to ask that question, or answer that question, I should say.
Now, there is a thing, if I understand the way that it's set up with the fair, there is a Linn County Fair Board, correct?
Correct.
Yes. And so is there like one commissioner on the board, or are all the commissioners on the board? How does that work?
No, it is better if you don't have too many chiefs in one spot. So,
sure. Yeah.
So it's like I said, we split up our, as I said earlier on, we try and split up some of what we concentrate on. Currently, Commissioner Nyquist is the point commissioner on that. And as I said before, I mentioned to him, I go, there are no plans to do anything of that. And he informed me, he goes, at this point, no, we're just moving forward, buckling down on talent and getting that ready. I would say during the heat of the summer, I don't think we'd anticipate too many problems. That's just experience. I'm not a doctor. Nobody's a doctor. Nobody will say one way or another. But we do have to keep moving forward. We can't be locked down forever. It would just destroy this country if we kept a lockdown up.
Yeah. Let's see if you can not talk about this if you don't want to. It's okay. I'm going to introduce something you weren't expecting, but just before we go to our break. And I'm just kind of curious about your thoughts on this. There is a real, how do I say this, an approach taken by most of the national media when either Vice President Pence, who is heading the nation's effort against the coronavirus and planning and the implementing all the policies, et cetera, and he or President Trump, when they say something, they consistently, constantly try to find someone who, some other expert somewhere, who will say that, no, it's actually the opposite. They're always looking for an opinion to put on that is different than what the those in the federal government are saying, either the president or the vice president or someone representing them. With that in mind, how do you see the news coverage of this and other issues regarding the president and the vice president and what they've been doing, especially, though, in regards to the coronavirus? You seeing the same thing I'm seeing, or do you not want to talk about
it? My personal opinion, I think some of it's just been absolutely horrid. The purpose of media, especially in the time of a crisis, is to get out as much information as possible so that people know what's going on. And I'm with you. I ran into this thing about this myth of masks about a week and a half ago, and I took it on the chin. The bottom line is we have a population of people out there who have underlying conditions. It could range from anywhere from a respiratory COPD illness to cancer. Those people have to ensure their safety, and part of that is masks. And I've talked at length with medical professionals on how they work and what is going on. All of them, all of the people that I've talked to, and it's like I said, I've talked to doctors from the Cleveland Clinic to Albany, Oregon. Some sort of separation is better than nothing. We have to keep the water droplet from going on. Everybody talks about how a COVID virus, this is the way it was explained to me. Again, I'm not a doctor. But that is a 0.2 nano micron size disease, and of course your P95 masks are 300 micron. That means the disease can go through it. Well, that's not totally true. The disease is encapsulated inside another mechanism, which would be some sort of liquid.
Right.
And those masks are constructed, all masks are constructed in a way where there is a slight electrostatic charge in them. That's what the barrier is. The P95s that they're throwing a big fit about, yeah, they're pretty doggone effective. But you also have to remember, the reason a surgeon wears a surgical mask is to protect the operating area, which means he's not exhaling or whatever. And one of the important things that I've been told by medical professionals is if you suspect that you have the virus and you have to go somewhere, you should be wearing the mask.
Right.
You know, because you need to keep it from spreading into the atmosphere. And I could go on, and again, I'm not a doctor, but I've talked to a lot of really smart people on this. I just am and stunned that a lie was put, and I did say it is a lie that was put on national TV about being prepared or taking precautions. Now there's an order that's going to come out in the next 24 hours that's going to radically adjust that. We do know that order is coming by the CDC and the National Health Institute. You know, we have to take this serious and on the spread of it. And again, in Oregon, we've done a fantastic job.
Yes.
I've gone to the grocery store. People are not all over each other. We got tape marks on the thing. And it's just that little spread. That little spread can save a transmission. But I have constantly worried about people with compromised immune systems. And we do have a number of the population out there walking around that don't know they have a compromised immune system.
Right.
They don't know that they're ill. They don't know that they have a sickness.
That's John Lindsay, Linn County Commissioner. He's our guest on Valley Talk for our entire program, so he will join us for some more chat about many issues, all county-related here, coming up right after we take this quick break. Don't go away.
Think you're paying too much for insurance? Put Corwin Insurance to work for you. Corwin Insurance, your local, reliable, independent insurance agency for your personal or business needs. Since 1977, in Albany on Sanium Highway Southeast, across the street from Sizzler, or in downtown Corvallis on 4th between Jefferson and Adams. Check out their website, corwininsurance.com. That's C-O-R-W-I-N insurance.com. Or come in for a free quote today.
Bronco Charlie was a great horse rider. He will forever hold a place in history as the youngest man to accomplish this feat, which is pretty amazing, but perhaps pales to what he would accomplish in his 90s. The story of a very long ride is today's edition on the American Countryside. A Farm in the Countryside podcast, we're talking about the stories, tips, and trends affecting agricultural and rural America. What can you expect in the markets? How do you evaluate new technology? What are the latest trends when it comes to successful crop and livestock operations? Those topics and many more are our weekly focus with guests from across the nation. Farm in the Countryside is brought to you by Pivot BioProven. Find the Farm in the Countryside podcast on the AgriTalk app or just use your favorite podcast platform. And you can follow our show on Facebook. Catch Farm in the Countryside for a weekly look at the stories affecting rural and agricultural America.
Picture yourself driving the tractor of your dreams, creeping up and down the rolling hills, enjoying an incredible sunset, and feeling satisfied that you were able to finally find your dream tractor at a reasonable price. Visit MachineryPete.com for the best selection of used tractors, skid steers, mowers, and more. We've revolutionized searching for equipment online. Find exactly what you're looking for quickly and easily. Your next piece of equipment is only a click away on MachineryPete.com. Visit MachineryPete.com now.
In 1860 and 61, Pony Express riders delivered the mail from Missouri to California. They carried a special type of saddlebag called a mochila that held the important messages traversing the nation.
So on a mochila would be four pockets called cantinas. Three of them would be locked down when it left from St. Joseph, and then they had one open. They did the military forts, so they would stop and take information back and forth from Washington, D.C. to the forts.
Plus many other messages from people and businesses that needed the express service. Cindy Daffron is executive director of the Pony Express Stables, and she says the riders were usually young, single men. The youngest was a kid named Bronco Charlie.
He was only 11 years old. They were at one of the relay stations, and they came up, and there was supposed to be a new rider. No rider coming through, and the guy said, "What are we going to do now?" And Bronco's dad said, "My son knows the way."
Charlie's dad knew his son could make the 10 to 12-hour ride, and the horses would know the way as well. It was quite a ride for an 11-year-old, but what is more amazing is that he did an even longer ride 79 years later.
When he turns 90, they said, "Well, I said I'm going to follow my bucket list. I'm going to take a letter from New York all the way out to San Francisco."
Upon arriving in California, he sold the horse and took the train back home.
When he got home, he thought, man, what am I just going to do? So he started carving and telling stories. And we have one of the carvings here at the museum that he would have done, carving out of a piece of wood. So Bronco then told his story and kept alive that Pony Express.
Bronco Charlie is just one of the amazing riders whose stories are told here at the Pony Express Stables. You can see the video version of our story by following American Countryside on Facebook or watching U.S. Farm Report. Traveling the countryside in St. Joseph, Missouri, I'm Andrew McCray.
In order to keep the Lebanon and surrounding community fed during this time of businesses closing, award-winning barbecue, JNC Barbecue and Catering, is open for takeouts, curbside, and delivery. Till further notice, award-winning barbecue. Call 541-258-7510. JNC Barbecue and Catering is open for takeouts, curbside, and delivery. Till further notice. Online at jcwoodfirebbq.com. 940 Main Street in Lebanon, next to Napa Auto Parts.
Hope you enjoyed your meal. And I just want to say, he's lucky to have a brother like you.
Lucky? Caring for my brother is far from easy. But he's a part of me, like my arms and legs, so I'll be his. No time for tired. Nothing can disable this love. He needs me, but I'm the lucky one, even though I need help now and then.
If you're caring for a loved one, visit aarp.org/caregiving for care guides and community. Support for your strength. Brought to you by AARP and the Ad Council.
The Car Show, Saturday afternoons on News Talk 1580, KGAL.
Welcome back to KGAL's Valley Talk. Linn County Commissioner John Lindsay, our guest. And during the break, we chatted briefly, and John had what kind of a story he wanted to share here to open us up for this segment.
Yeah, my wife, Linda, and myself, like many people have had, you know, we can't, like I said, see kids. I had a grandson that had a birthday here a little while back, and we have to chat on the phone instead. And it was kind of funny. He's one of those kids that likes to go to school, and he's really into his schoolwork. And of
he
course,
actually
now,
likes going to school. Good
yes,
for him.
Yes, he's a bit of a guy like that. And so out of nowhere, we were talking to him, and he had said that, you know, this is a great example of why the government won't tell us about aliens. Look at how we're handling this virus. We have no idea where that came from. I was just laughing about that. That was
sounds like
awesome.
He's been doing some deep thinking about these things.
Oh, he's quite a character. But anyway, you know, it's going to be rough on a lot of people. I do know. I wanted to touch on this just a bit for people to think about it, and something that myself and I know that other public officials are becoming a little bit wary of is during this order. You remember, as we go through it, we have declined elective surgery and elective outpatient work on a lot of individuals.
Right.
And we don't always think about all the different scenarios that could take place. And I just wanted to real quick share a scenario of an example of something that that I know of a case here in Linn County that really is kind of an unfortunate situation. We have a gentleman in this county who is autistic, pretty autistic, and he had a broken tooth when this all started, and all of his work has to be done at OHSU. And unfortunately, through this process, that individual child is no longer, that's considered outpatient. So that procedure now has been put on hold. And when you're dealing with an autistic individual, you know, they don't understand things like this. So all they know is that they have a physical problem and it needs to be fixed. So it's really just one of those minor, I wouldn't call it minor, everybody, every tragedy's big if it's yours. But I mean that to me is just one of the sacrifices that are being made through this whole process that typically I would not be you know too happy to hear. Another case is I'm familiar with a lady that has a mass that they found. The biopsy and surgery would be considered some sort of elective outpatient surgery at the hospital she was at. Unfortunately, we have to wait until these orders are lifted for her to go in and find out what that actually is.
So that could be cancerous, and she doesn't know.
And timing is an issue from what I understand in these things. So, I mean, there is a lot of individual sacrifice that Oregonians are making through this process. And at some point, we're going to have a discussion Hopefully it'll be towards the end of April. Hopefully we'll get through 3 weeks or 4 weeks here. There's a lot of us that would like to see our governor actually put together a group of individuals to try and figure out how we unwind what we're in right now. There will be a day, I do believe it'll be in not too long in the future, but we have to figure out how to start unwinding this. And I'll give you a great example that I'm very concerned with. You know, if you take a look at the latest unemployment reports we get, you don't mind if I take up a minute here, do you?
No, take as long as you want, John. We got plenty of time.
This is very good. At the beginning of this crisis, I got to give credit to people. Ken Boddy at Coin TV did a 6 or 7 minute segment, which is, you know, giant on TV.
Oh, TV news, that's big, yeah.
Yeah, and it was on the economy in Portland going into this virus. And you have to remember that the health of a city is judged by the amount of construction cranes that they have out there.
Mm-hmm.
We have literally right now billions of dollars of contracts for construction in the state of Oregon that have already been let. And those jobs are taking place. Those are going to happen. But through this process, we've had a freeze on those construction workers. And so unlike a depressed economy like we've faced in the past, there is an economy sitting there that's kind of on hold. It's like everybody went home for the weekend.
Right.
You know, what we're waiting for is to come back. So when I pay attention to what the state is putting out, I take a close look at the construction numbers. And I have the sheet from the 31st that I got from the Albany MSA, which, you know, includes a little bit of Corvallis. We have relatively been very strong in the construction field. Those are high-end jobs, very well. I do know that there's some layoffs coming on it. How long we can sustain that, I don't know. I don't need to tell anybody about the massive amount of service workers, you know, restaurant industry. But I think if people pay attention to something here, something that we're doing right now with the stimulus is that, excuse me, those individuals that normally wouldn't receive that compensation for unemployment are going to receive it. That's a game changer. I think we can get through this, but we can't stay shut down for an extended period of time, because the longer a small independent owner has his business shut down, we know this from the 2008 crisis, those business people start to wonder, well, maybe I should just fold everything up and retire, you know, early or something like that. We can't have that.
Well, hopefully we will be able to start to unwind things, as you said. That was a good way to put it, I think, sooner than later. You know, so what you'd like to see then is from the state government level, maybe some a little bit of talk about what they might do, or at least some sign that they're actively working on an unwinding plan.
Yeah, and we have a back channel that we've been working on. There are several counties that are trying to communicate this and try and get this in. We have a couple state senators who are working with us on that. We need to have, we've put together, you know, it has to be a different group. We have a great group of health professionals that have tried to steer us through this crisis from the health end. And obviously their work has shown greatly because of the success we've had. But we also need a group of people that can figure out how to, as I said, unwind us and get us back into the market and what that would look like. I mean, it could be as simple as to as slowly walk out of it. Maybe we can keep social distancing and still have small restaurants open up by removing half the tables in the building. You know, it could be something that. I mean, those are just ideas that have been thrown out, but we need to talk about those. And there's not a big discussion going on right now about that. We've got to keep these small business individual proprietorships and things like that going. Yeah, we'll have some help. Yeah, it'll get through, I believe, somewhat of April. But to continue, I think everybody knows that cannot be really sustainable. At the same time, as I said before, the virus is still working its way through with our you know, populations. You know, the more people that have had it, probably the better. But we still have to be very careful of those people with those compromised immune systems or age. And we've done a very good job on that. In Lynn County, we have 37 cases, or had 37 cases. And if, you know, they don't publish these numbers, I'll go ahead and share them a little bit. The majority of those cases actually come from one incident, and that was the testing of over 300 people where we found those, and that had to do with the home over in Lebanon.
Right.
So we tracked those down. We got treatments for those people. Pretty successful there. I was ecstatic because I had known from day one the age of one of the individuals, the original individuals.
Yes.
Pretty amazing story there. 104 years old.
That's right.
I just find that absolutely stunning.
And he made it through it.
Yeah. I mean, that is just an incredible thing when you think about that.
Yeah.
I can tell you, I spend time at the VA home, off and on, ever since we've had it in. And we have a lot of very strong individuals over there.
Yeah.
But again, you don't go there for a sunny retirement home. A lot of people that enter that place, they have health issues.
Right.
So, I mean, what has taken place there is borderline a miracle, in my view, at how successful that's been. That is a testament, I believe, to how some of our health professionals in this state have handled this.
Right. Beautifully.
You know, in treatment.
Yep, beautifully. So let's switch gears a little bit, Commissioner Lindsay, if you don't mind, and talk about small businesses. Now, locally in the city of Albany, they have been, the city council there has been putting out the idea of potentially taking some of their money from a Pepsi-Cola settlement from years ago that they've had stored up there, and taking some of that and allocating it out to small businesses, restaurants, et cetera, in Albany to help them keep going and keep from going under some low-interest loans that they might. Now, has the county looked at potentially loaning some money to small business?
Actually, to be honest, no, we haven't. We were waiting to see what the package was, and the package just went into effect today, and that is, part of the stimulus. Our encouragement is to go to the local chambers of commerce. They have been, they are putting out information and been very involved, or the Council of Governments over there off Queen Street. They will be handling a lot of the direction for small business loans. These loans, if everybody's been listening very closely to them, actually are loans, if you're going to do a loan, but if you keep, you know, your employees on payroll and keep certain things up, that loan will become a grant instead. And for a small business that's trying to do, you know, stick by their employees or do something like that, I've never heard of something like this. I think this is, I've asked other people, have you ever heard of a government program during the time of an emergency that would do this? This really is a different direction. And if this is successful, again, this is something that will help those businesses, I believe, get through this month of March and April that we have to go through.
And just to make it clear, a grant then would mean that the business would not have to pay that money back.
That is correct. If they hold those, if they hold that, they meet certain payroll obligations, even though they can't utilize a lot of those employees. They keep, in the case of health insurance, if they're keeping health insurance on there, they're doing their payroll tax. From what I have been told, and I was on the phone last night about this, trying to get this little piece out of it. And again, I will contact COG and make sure that I understand this correctly. The way I understand it is if you are one of those people that do that, your power bill and your rent for that month would become part of a forgivable grant or a tax write-off at that point. I've never heard of something like this. It is, you know, I think the gist of this whole program is America is built on small business.
Yes.
And every time we've had a crisis, it seems like the advantage always goes to these large multinational corporations. And this these incentives seem to really target, again, the small business owner. And interesting enough, individual proprietorships, that's what I've never seen anything that really has helped an individual proprietorship through an economic downturn. And it looks like that's where we're going. Again, lots of information there. I highly encourage any small business person to do this. The Chambers, Sweet Home Lebanon, Albany, they have been working very hard on this. We do know that. The county, we've been working with COG on making sure that we can put together those programs and get them out there right away. And everything has gone into effect today. So you know, there's a lot of...
Talk about a ray of hope. I mean, a hand up, you know, that is being offered. This is very, very encouraging to hear.
I have never seen anything like this. It's like I said, I've acted around. This seems to be, it's not, you know, these small businesses propped up this, our country. We might as well just say, that's what they do. We're built on small business, Oregon's built on small business. And it seems like every time we go into a moment of crisis, throughout the whole shim-sham of legislation stuff, they always get forgotten. And if this is really going to work like this, I think we finally have something that actually is going to pay back those people or help get those people that build this country through this. I think we have opportunities here, and I would like to see this be successful. I know that Commissioner Nyquist and Commissioner Tucker, both of us, we're heartbroken if someone goes out of business here. You know, it's unfortunately cycles happen like that. But you know. Entrepreneurship is what we're built on, and we'd like to see these people keep going forward.
Commissioner John Lindsay, our guest, and he was wanting to make sure that we had time to chat about the election, and so I'll just let you know, we got about 7 minutes left to talk, my friend, so that's about how much there is left, so jump into the topic of the election.
I just told the county clerk I would do him a favor, do him a solid on this. despite rumor mills and stuff like that, elections go forward. We are a national republic. We run a democracy here in Oregon, and voting is the most important thing for a citizen to have. We will have elections on time, and they will be conducted just like any other election. Steve and his staff have been working very hard on that, and I know that other county clerks around the state have been doing that. So when you hear things about postponing elections and things like that, no, we don't do that. We didn't postpone elections in World War II and World War I, and, again, this through this virus, people will have their constitutional rights preserved, and we will make sure that we get that stuff done. The board has made sure that Steve has anything that he wants to make sure that we can protect his volunteers and his staff and make sure that we can get those ballots out to people.
And when he's saying Steve, he's talking about Steve Duncan Miller. Yeah, that's
I'm
right.
Sorry.
Oh, that's okay.
Yes.
Most people knew who you were talking about.
Yeah. Well, he's kind of an institution.
He is. How long's he been in that office?
I've talked to Steve. I think Steve went to work for Linn County. He worked for a judge. He's a lawyer by trade. He doesn't like to admit it. But he came out here and worked for one of our judges and then ended up eventually working in the clerk's office, I think sometime in the early 80s. You need to get him on the air, and he has quite an interesting past on that. But
I do need to talk
Linn
to
County
him.
He's been with Linn County for a long time.
Yeah, that's impressive. With just a little bit of time left, one thing we didn't talk about that you suggested would be a good thing to mention, that was youth wage grants for summer work moving forward. Yeah.
Yeah, one of the things that we do, and it's a very successful program, is, again, we try and encourage small employers to employ kids during the summer. It's good for kids, teenagers, to have jobs, work their way through school, things like that, get those skills that they need to understand how work works. That is a small grant that we give out during the summertime for people that have gone out of their way to employ new kids that they haven't employed before. And when I say kids, it's 19 and under.
Right.
But... some people wouldn't say that, but some of us were getting to that age. we get them in there, and this is, we had that lottery money years ago, and Commissioner Nyquist had originally brought that up, and I thought it was a pretty good idea. We can create a new government program or actually help small employers. I think we've done a pretty effective job on that. We just wanted to make sure that even though this money comes from lottery machines, and all those lottery machines are shut down, we still intend on going forward with the program, and we'll be right now. Marcia here in the commissioner's office is getting that paperwork together and getting it ready for those employers.
All right, we've enjoyed chatting with Linn County Commissioner John Lindsay for the entire program today here on Valley Talk. Commissioner Lindsay, all the best to you. I hope you get to feeling better, and we'll look forward to chatting with you some other time.
Oh yes, and I'll be talking to you offline here.
All right, very good.
Okay.
We all have a responsibility to keep our communities safe. Opioid overdose is one of the leading causes of preventable death in Oregon. Narcan counters the effects of an opioid overdose. You can help save a life. Learn more at samhealth.org/NarcanSaves. That's samhealth.org/NarcanSaves. This message is supported by the Health Resources and Services Administration of the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services under grant number D04RH31787, Rural Healthcare Services Outreach Grant Program, for grant amount $599,921 and 0% financed with non-governmental sources. This information or content and conclusions are those of the author and should not be construed as the official position or policy of, nor should any endorsements be inferred by, the Health Resources and Services Administration, the Department of Health and Human Services, or the U.S. government.
Problems, the ones nobody talks about at the dinner table. Hungry children, homeless families, neighbors unable to afford their basic needs. We go looking for them, no matter the obstacles, no matter the odds. We surround our community's most critical challenges and we fight. United Way fights for the health, education, and financial stability of every person in our community. Will you join us? Visit UnitedWayLBL.org to learn more or to donate today.
Hi, this is Linda from Valley Merchant Police. We are a security service in Albany since 1941.
We interrupt this announcement for another announcement. While Valley Merchant Police is open and reachable by phone, Linda and the staff send best wishes to all who are impacted by the coronavirus. While you're staying at home, bring back family game night. Teach your kids practical things they don't learn in school. The safest thing to do is to limit your trips to the store or elsewhere. And remember, this too will pass.
CBS Eye on Veterans, presented by University of Maryland Global Campus. Billy Humphrey is a Marine veteran and an avid outdoorsman. But after investigating strange occurrences near his deer stand in West Virginia, he describes an encounter with a creature that many believe is Bigfoot.
It wasn't, I would say, within the hour. I heard something coming from around my neighbor's property on the backside of my blind. And as it approached my blind, it was heavy, you know, unlike a bear, deer, anything like that. It ended up standing behind my blind for a while. I'd say 15, 20 minutes, never moved. And when I looked, he was looking right at me.
I'm Phil Briggs from ConnectingVets.com for CBS News.
Choose from 90-plus programs and specializations to accelerate your military or civilian career and find out how our dedicated military and veteran advisors can help you navigate your benefits. University of Maryland Global Campus. Find out how we're made for you. Visit umgc.edu.
Is your website outdated? Well, you're not alone. Hi, this is Hutch, owner of OneSource Web. Technology changes quickly, and having a dynamic, mobile-friendly site is vital to your search engine rankings. If you need a new website, OneSource Web is your reliable local partner. We specialize in new WordPress sites, redesigns, ongoing website care, and updates. Let us give your site the wow factor it deserves. Online at onesourceweb.com, that's the number one, sourceweb.com, or call 541-570-7518. That's 570-7518. At OneSource Web, we don't just build great websites, we build competitive advantages. We'd love to help you out. That number again is 541-570-7518, 570-7518, or online, onesourceweb.com. That's the number one, sourceweb.com.
Lebanon shopping, it just makes sense.
Need a distinctive design for your organization or business? Hi, this is Yvette from Northwest Apparel and Graphics. From vinyl signs to screen printing and custom embroidery, we can do it all, and for a lot less than you'd expect. Look for our expanded showroom at the corner of Sherman and South Main Streets in downtown Lebanon, Northwest Apparel and Graphics.
This pandemic has certainly taken the shine off your jewelry and sometimes your sunny disposition. But never fear, Tremel's Jewelry will reopen soon. When that happens, expect a buffing job that will dazzle your gems, stones, and metal with a staff that can lighten your spirit. Be safe out there from your friends at Tremel's Jewelry.
Hello, this is Melissa with Curls and Pearls Salon and Spa. We are closed currently due to the pandemic. We will be open again as soon as we are able to, with health and safety being our first concern. We love our guests and hope to see you all again very soon.
Locally owned and operated, this is the very independent News Talk 1580 K.